the tragic synagogue shooting in California. Friends, we've been warning that things like this would happen.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, what an intense weekend we had. So much to share, so much to talk about. And friends, we have been raising our voices for weeks, well, for years, for decades. But in recent weeks, we have been issuing warnings. We have been talking about the rising tide of, quote, Christian anti-Semitism. We have been talking about the dangers. We have been talking about the potential violence. And then we see these horrors take place this weekend. This is something we must address. I believe you're going to find today's broadcast very, very important, very, very eye-opening. If you'd like to weigh in on today's subject, not just general questions, general comments, but today's subject, the synagogue shooting, anti-Semitism in the New York Times, the rising tide of, quote, Christian anti-Semitism. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. And I want to start off by going immediately to my friend and colleague, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, known as America's most famous rabbi. We've become close friends over the years in the midst of our many, many debates. And he is a leading voice constantly calling America to wake up to the rising tide of anti-Semitism. So, guys, I am unable to get on my normal screen, so I just need you to bring Rabbi Shmuley on for me. If you can bring him on the line, I want to get to my guest immediately, and I'm going to weigh in after he has time to express himself. Shmuley, are you with us?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing well. Glad to talk with you, and looking forward to seeing you again, God willing, this summer in New York.
Oh, that's right. We have our event coming up. We haven't done a live discussion debate in quite a few years after doing so many, so I look forward greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Shmuley, you have links that go back to Chabad, the same group where the tragic shooting took place this Saturday, this past Shabbat. At the last day of Passover, you've been steadily raising your voice about concerns about the rising tide of anti-Semitism in America, Democrat Party, New York Times. Just speak from your heart to our audience. How urgent a time is this? How much does America need to wake up to what's happening?
Firstly, Mike, I want to thank all of your listeners. I'm guessing that they are predominantly evangelical Christians.
Correct.
Like yourself. And their friendship with the Jewish people, their stalwart support for Israel is so appreciated in our community and by the state of Israel and by people of conscience. The rise of anti-Semitism in our time is something I never would have predicted, not on this scale, not 70 years after the Holocaust. We really thought that the Holocaust was of such a terrible magnitude that the world would almost scare itself with how much it despised the Jews. It's one thing to harbor bigotry and prejudices. It's quite another to engage in genocide, in mass murder on that scale. So we thought that anti-Semitism would be in abeyance, that people would understand how serious it is. So this is all a terrible shock that we now see Jeremy Corbyn on the verge of becoming the Prime Minister of Britain, where I lived for 11 years, who's an out-and-out Jew hater. Who says that he admires Hamas and Hezbollah, the bloodthirsty terrorists. Ilhan Omar, we never thought that in the halls of Congress we'd have people roaming who actually are a mouthpiece for things like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, accusations that the Jews control the world with their money, buy off politicians with their Benjamins, their cash. We didn't think we'd have Rashida Tlaib, who would be accusing Jews of dual loyalty. These are the halls of Congress. This is not the fringe. This is not the margins. This is the highest halls of power. And it's quite shocking. And what it all leads to, this culture of demonization of the Jewish people, defamation of the Jewish people, let alone white nationalist supremacists who are just vile, despicable human beings. They violate every principle of the Bible in their hatred of groups that are not like them. Many of them claim to be Christians, but of course they're fraudulent Christians. They're not religious in the slightest. What this all leads to is attacks on Jews. It leads to dead Jews. When you demonize a subgroup, you demonize a minority, especially with the oldest hatred in the world, anti-Semitism, it leads to real attacks. And the attack this past Saturday, the last day of Passover, was an abomination. What happened in Pittsburgh was an even worse abomination. And it's quite frightening, Mike, because you know that I lived in England for 11 years in Western Europe, where the synagogues are like fortresses. You have police outside. You have metal detectors to get inside. America was never like that, but we're nearly there.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And Shmuley, you know, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I chart the history of anti-Semitism among professing Christians and how deplorable and hateful that is. But in 47 years, for me as a follower of Jesus, I've run into great love for the Jewish people around the world, great respect for Israel, solidarity with Israel. I've run into it in Asia and Africa. I've run into it all over America, other countries. And what I'm seeing now is stuff I've never seen before. And some of it's coming from professing Christians like this guy, this 19-year-old. You read his manifesto. He's eloquent, articulate for a 19-year-old, but it's every standard anti-Semitic trope, including the blood libel. And then he's quoting the Bible and he's speaking about being a Christian. I've been raising my voice about these very things in recent weeks because I've been running into it. So like you, it's a shocker to see this. What happened with the New York Times now? Because this ups things to yet another level.
Yeah, the New York Times cartoon, which appeared Thursday in its international edition, was shocking. It was really straight out of the pages of Der Stürmer from 1930s Germany. Every disgusting, vile, anti-Semitic trope seems to have been included, with the sole exception of, say, a bar of gold. You have the Prime Minister of Israel depicted as a dog. I mean, literally, the most famous Jew in the world, a man who was just elected to his fifth term as prime minister and the only democracy in the Middle East, is depicted as a canine. He has exaggerated Jewish facial features, the big giant nose, the dark eyes, the menacing eyebrows, and he has a dog collar with the Star of David. And we all know, almost like a yellow armband that you might have seen documented in Germany. He has a dog. He's wearing this dog collar, which is the Star of David. Then on top of that, you have Trump, the hated Trump, now Jewified, now made into a Jew, wearing a yarmulke.
Yep.
And he's blind, and he's being duped and manipulated by the wily, controlling Jew to do the Jew's bidding. I mean, this is the most dangerous anti-Semitic canard. The Jews are out for world domination. They're parasites. They only ever seek to control and manipulate the powerful people for their own advantage. They are always guilty of dual loyalties. They can never be loyal to anything but each other. And they're involved in a worldwide conspiracy. And when this disgusting cartoon first appeared, the Times, first, they didn't apologize at all. They said that they're going to take it down because it was an error of judgment. Then, faced with worldwide condemnation, they did decide to finally apologize. But in typical Times fashion, instead of taking real responsibility, they said that the decision to publish the cartoon was taken by one editor without sufficient oversight, and they would now look into how it happened. Now, think about that. This is the most famous newspaper in the world, and what's their defense? We're incompetent. So, no real apology, no real, and the fact is, it's not true. It doesn't make a difference if it was the decision of a single editor. This cartoon got into the New York Times because of years and years of demonization of Israel, years and years of demonization of Netanyahu. It's part of their editorial line.
And look, there's the Bret Stephens editorial where he says this goes back to the days of the Holocaust when the New York Times didn't publish things accurately to give a full picture then. So, I mean, who knows how far things go back, but it is shocking. It does reflect the sentiments that are out there. there was an editorial the other day that referenced Jesus being a Palestinian. I wrote an article rebutting it. Others wrote an article rebutting it. And then they put out last day or two, just quietly, a correction. Oh, due to an editing error, Jesus was referred to here. Because of an editing error, an earlier version of this article referred incorrectly to Jesus' background. While he lived in an area that later came to be known as Palestine, Jesus was a Jew who was born in Bethlehem. Initially, they had him as a Palestinian. So, I mean, the standard Palestinian Authority, he was the first martyr, he was a Shahid, he was a Palestinian. The New York Times buying into that. So Shmuley, we've got 3 minutes before the break. What can we do to make a difference and to push back against this horrific stuff that's going on?
Well, Mike, as I said, evangelical Christians are doing so much already. They stand up for Israel. They support Israel. They agitate for Israel. President Trump, I believe, is even on record as saying that one of the main reasons he moved the embassy, aside from his own conscience, of course, and his love of Israel and the Jewish people, is because he knows that his supporters, who are mostly evangelical Christians, they wanted to see that move. They wanted to see Jerusalem recognized as the eternal capital of the Jewish people. But what more can be done is the Times needs to be lambasted. People should be writing letters. I don't know if your listeners know, we fund giant ads in the New York Times on issues like this. We're going to be taking out an ad. People can go to my Facebook page, you know, Rabbi Shmuley, or Twitter, write to me through Twitter, Rabbi Shmuley. We're raising money to take out an ad in the New York Times calling for a boycott of advertising in the New York Times and a cancellation of subscriptions to the New York Times until they engage in serious reflection shown to us with tangible results and how they editorialize about Israel and how they report about Israel. I mean, this is a wake-up call. We can't let them get away with it. And we should not be supporting an institution. I know it sounds a little bit contradictory. You take out an ad calling for a boycott of an ad, but we do a lot of advertising in the New York Times. Mike, this isn't about one cartoon. It's about the editorial line. So if people want to support that ad, if people want to help us, you know, raise our voice, they can also write to me at info@shmuley.com, info@shmuley.com. We can give them more ideas. But in the meantime, keep the pressure up on the New York Times.
All right, awesome friends. Rabbi Shmuley, that's Shmuley. Let's stand with him. Let's raise our voices. Let's push back. Good is going to overcome evil. We'll do it together. Hey, Shmuley, can't wait to see you soon and your family. That's the highlight. The debate's fun, but the highlight's hanging out. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, God bless you, Mike.
And God bless your family. Thanks. All right, thank you, sir.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This type of stuff is outright dangerous. It needs to be rebuked. It needs to be exposed. I have been raising my voice for decades, but in recent weeks, I have been raising my voice very clearly saying that there is a rising tide of anti-Semitism that is wearing Christian garb, that it is dangerous, that to speak of the Jews a certain way, to demonize the Jews, it will lead to violence. I don't care how much you repudiate it, how much you say I'm against violence, when you keep demonizing people and keep spreading lies and keep spreading mischaracterizations and exaggerated, negative, destructive stereotypes and on, when you keep doing that, there will be violence. That's why I have been warning. That's why I have been raising my voice. I saw a question from someone watching on Facebook. Well, what about the slaughter of Christians? I've been talking about the slaughter of Christians day and night for years. We constantly draw attention to the persecution of Christians around the world, constantly. And I will raise my voice against the rising tide of anti-Semitism. We have seen what it has done. We have seen the reality of Jew hatred. Someone else to deal with, they're fake Jews and true Jews, and the fake Jews hide behind anti-Semitism. That is an anti-Semitic comment. First saying fake Jews, true Jews. Go through the New Testament. Look at every time the word Jew, Jewish occurs, all right? It's talking about definable people. It's talking about groups of people, whether they're believers in Jesus or not. It may be talking about leaders among the people or specific groups within them. But even among unbelievers, they're called Jews over and over. They're not fake Jews. Well, they're all the synagogue of Satan. These are the standard anti-Semitic interpretations. And when you draw attention to them, you're just hiding behind anti-Semitism. I'm telling you the truth. Now look, I had on my show a couple weeks ago Catholic scholar E. Michael Jones. He absolutely speaks against violence to the Jewish people, harming the Jewish people. And I told him plainly on the show in our candid conversation that his positions are anti-Semitic, that they are dangerous, that they have led to bloodshed. Well, I saw someone on my Twitter feed had made a comment. And let's just take a look at this tweet. It's no longer available. So obviously got deleted by Dr. Jones. But let's just take a look at this tweet. All right. From Dr. Jones. Dr. Michael Brown, here's my Twitter handle, is now blaming the Poway synagogue shooting on, quote, Christian anti-Semitism. This is a shameful misrepresentation of the situation. The shooter wrote a manifesto which nowhere mentions Christianity. So obviously he posted that before he himself had read the manifesto. All right. Or whatever he read was only part of it. I replied, but the reply didn't go through, so I just did a screenshot. That's when I found I couldn't find it. If that tweet's still there, I can't find it. I replied, Dr. Jones, did you not read his manifesto? He claims to be a Christian, the synagogue shooter, cites the New Testament, the very verses you cited on my show, sir, and repeats the standard Christian anti-Semitic tropes. And I give a link. I give a link to his manifesto. Let's just listen to some of the warnings I have issued. This first one is to comedian Owen Benjamin. Now, in the very video where I took him to task, he speaks out against violence. He speaks out, and we don't want to harm. I'm saying the rhetoric you're using, what you're saying, the way you're saying it, will lead to violence. Here's what I said. I want to encourage PragerU, Dave Rubin, Stephen Crowder, those who've worked with Owen Benjamin in the past, you may be trying to reach out to him privately. You may be concerned about his mental or emotional state, but I want to encourage you to publicly separate yourselves from his comments and to denounce what he's saying in the clearest possible terms, because this stuff gets very dangerous. This type of rhetoric, especially with him saying, well, Jesus flipped the money table. So yeah, in other words, you get violent. Get violent against people. Get violent against these Jews. That's what he is espousing, and that's what we must warn people against. Yeah, I understand that he says, no, I'm not talking about violence. But when you demonize people a certain way, and when you say Jesus was not a pacifist, and go ahead and flip the tables, do you think every listener, every viewer is perfectly stable, be rational, going to work through everything in a reasonable, dispassionate way? And when you provoke them, and say, oh, no, but don't get violent, that they're going to factor all that. No, we must be careful in what we say and how we say it. Look, there's a reason that the pro-life movement has been overwhelmingly pro-life and not killing people. Yes, there have been these horrific aberrations where an abortion doctor or worker in a clinic was shot and killed, all right? But those have been the exception to the exception to the exception to this mass rule of decades of peaceful protest. Why? Because we are pro-life, and we couch things in certain terms that as much as we deplore the horror of abortion, we make it clear that we are pro-life. You must be careful and responsible with the words you use. There's a reason I keep drawing attention to what True News is saying, Rick Wiles and True News, and the errors they're propagating, and the exaggerations, and the stereotypes, and the mischaracterizations, and the anti-Semitic tropes. There's a reason I'm drawing attention to it. It's wrong, it's sinful, it's misinformation, but it leads to violence. No, I'm not saying Owen Benjamin is directly connected to the synagogue shooting, or E. Michael Jones, or True News. No, I am not saying that. Shout that out to the world. But I'm saying this type of rhetoric inevitably will lead to violence. And that's why when we get into this manifesto a little later in the show, you will see all the standard junk you're hearing from these different outlets, from these different individuals, from these scholars, from these news outlets. It's all the stuff that's in the manifesto. They're all drinking the same Kool-Aid. All right, so here's some of my warning to True News. Let's listen. Now, remember, for many years now, the Jews have been blamed for all the world evils. Whatever it is, during the Middle Ages, during the Black Plague, because less Jews died than Gentiles. Why? Hygiene, because of Torah. They still died, plenty died, but not at the same percentage with which these others died. Obviously, the Jews, they poisoned the wells themselves. See, this was widely believed. Jews were slaughtered for this. When an economy fails in a country, it's the fault of the Jews. Yeah, so you start scapegoating the Jews, blaming the Jews, demonizing just all the Jews, evil Jews, evil Jews, evil Jews, evil Jews, evil Jews. Well, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to do something about it. And one of the most painful things to read with this 19-year-old, this murderer, is he's eloquent. He's articulate. He's thinking about values and what matters most, and he's willing to sacrifice his life for this noble cause. Yeah, that's sick. That's evil. But that's where these lies lead. They always have. They always do. They lead to violence. Here's where I took issue with E. Michael Jones, and you'll see a very verse, same verse, that the shooter quotes from. E. Michael Jones quoted from and said, based on this, the Jews killed Christ and the Jews are hostile to all men. I just suggest let's read it in a different translation. Go ahead. If you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning verse 14 in Greek, here I'll read from New King James, which is hardly meant to be avant-garde or creative. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. So it's speaking about a certain group of people in Judah, Jewish leaders, who historically had opposed prophets, opposed Jesus, and they were the ones hostile to all mankind, as opposed to the Jews killed Jesus, and the Jews are hostile to all mankind, because certainly, you know, historically, that's been used to persecute Jews and discriminate against Jews through the centuries. I have many friends of mine growing up, they came home from school crying, Mommy, who's Christ? The other boys say that I killed Christ. So surely you know how that phrase has been used to perpetuate Jewish bloodshed through the centuries. The Jews are Christ killers, but you seem to be affirming that statement. And he did affirm that statement very clearly. And then one last suggestion I urged on him, and we were polite with each other, absolutely civil with each other in the midst of our deep disagreements. But I urged him one last thing at the end of the broadcast. Let's just listen to this before the break.
I would just make this last appeal to you. We've got under 2 minutes, and I appreciate you willing to come on, and I'm happy to dialogue off the air, on the air, whatever the setting is. All I'm saying is the broad brush with which you paint and the broad statements you make are such that they encourage Jew hatred. They encourage demonization of Jews. I've seen the way things have played out with comedian Owen Benjamin. And then when I took issue with some things he said, the amount of stuff that came my way about these evil Jews, it was such we had to disable comments for a YouTube video, which we virtually never do. Only twice we've done in 1,600 videos. I'm just seeing the effect of it. So we've got a minute. You get the last word, but that's my appeal to you to reconsider your use of terms and rhetoric.
Right. So he appreciated my advice, but said thanks, but no thanks. I'm saying it once again. I'm raising a voice of warning once again. The type of rhetoric that is being used. The Jews are guilty of this. The Jews are subversive. The Jews own the White House. The Jews own this. The Jews are enslaving everybody. The Jews want to take over the world and decapitate Christians. All this nonsense, it must stop, or it's going to lead to more violence. And we, as followers of Jesus, need to distance ourselves from this, because this is what Jews have thought through the centuries. Christians hate the Jews, and Christians want to see us die. God forbid that lie is raised up in our midst, on our watch. We'll be right back. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're focusing on the synagogue shooting this weekend in Poway, California. This is Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH. I have a new edition of my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, coming out in September. And just yesterday, as we're doing the final edit on it, I added in some things with reference to what happened this weekend and the warnings we have been sounding for weeks. If you've watched this broadcast, listened to this broadcast, read my articles, you know there has been a steady stream of warning, more than you've heard from me in all the years we've been on the air, about a rising tide of, quote, Christian anti-Semitism. Let me be plain. You can criticize Jewish people without being an anti-Semite. You can have differences with Jewish people without being an anti-Semite. You can criticize the state of Israel without being an anti-Semite. And there is such a thing as anti-Semitism, which is demonizing of a people, which is mischaracterizing of a people, which is speaking of a people as a whole in ugly and untrue things. That is anti-Semitism. And if you say, well, you're just playing your anti-Semitism cards, that's anti-Semitism. There you go. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, I just want to take a minute to repudiate some of the junk that's in the Shooter's Manifesto. You say, well, why even give it the time of day? There's a reason. You'll see why. There's a reason. Listen first to what the shooter says. I would die 1,000 times over to prevent the doomed fate that the Jews have planned for my race. So I'm willing to sacrifice everything, job, loving wife, amazing kids. I'll sacrifice it all to protect, you know, the European Caucasians. I would die 1,000 times over to prevent the doomed fate that the Jews have planned for my race. By the way, this guy's a Trump hater, and he thinks that Trump is a Jew lover. All those are Trump's anti-Semitic, and yeah, right. This guy's a Trump hater, so you know that. So this idea, the Jews want to take over the world and kill everybody. It's a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. It's false. It's a lie. I read that. Well, then you read it wrong. Then you misunderstood it. Why is there a source that says that the Jews are going to rule the world and this is going to happen? Maybe you're looking at something about when the Messiah comes and establishes his kingdom, what Messiah is going to do to the wicked. Maybe you're looking at a rabbinic text. But either way, I'm telling you, this is not, this is a lie, but the guy believes it, and he's willing to shoot up and kill innocent people. All right, so let's listen. It's a little bit long, but I want you to hear it. Then we'll go to the phones. Every Jew, he writes, this is part of the anti-Semitic libel. Every Jew is responsible for the meticulously planned genocide of the European race. Every line of that is false. Every line, every word of that. They act as a unit, also a lie. And every Jew plays his part to enslave the other races around them, also a lie. Whether consciously or subconsciously, oh, so they're all doing it, don't even know it. Their crimes are endless, he writes, for lying and deceiving the public through their exorbitant role in news media. What's interesting is that Jews often get blasted in the news media. For using usury and banks to enslave nations in debt and control all finances for the purposes of funding evil. There you have it. Jews control all the money, all the banks, and they do it to fund evil. For their role in starting wars on a foundation of lies, which have costed millions of lives throughout history. Yeah, obviously started the Civil War, and obviously started World War I, and obviously started World War II, and probably behind the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor and all that, too, and started the Vietnam War. And for their role in cultural Marxism and communism. Yeah, they had a role. They have a role in everything. They live in societies. They're often influential people for good or bad. Here, you want a little soundbite? Jews are like everybody else except more so. How do you like that? Jews are like everybody else except more so. Good qualities, bad qualities. Positives, negatives. It's just that they tend to do things with more influence. So when they have good influence, it's greater. Bad influence, it's greater. Simple. Simple. Let's keep going. For pushing degenerate propaganda in the form of entertainment. That's all the Jews. That's all the Jews. For their role in feminism, which has enslaved women in sin. So, of course, there's no more anti-feminist movement than traditional.